Good morning and welcome to our reflections from Western Heights Uniting Church for this Sunday, the 24th of October, which is also International Children's Day. That's part of International Children's Week, so that's going to be our theme running through today. Western Heights are, well, we have as our aim to be a people who are loving God by growing together, by partnering community, and by sharing faith. We want to be a people who offer the welcome of God. And what that means is that all of God's creation is welcome in this place. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. It doesn't matter what your orientation. It doesn't matter where your faith's at. It doesn't matter who you are. You're here and you're welcome because God loves you and God cares about you. You're a part of this beautiful creation. We light a candle to remind ourselves that Christ is the light of the world and that Christ is with us. Children's Week, and I'll read this off the script that comes from the Children's Week. A national celebration of children's rights, talents and citizenship held on the fourth Wednesday of October in Australia to coincide with Universal Children's Day. And each year, the theme of Children's Week highlights a particular children's right. And the theme for 2021 is Article 15 of the United Nations Charter on the Rights of Children. Children have the right to meet together and to join groups and organisations as long as this does not stop other people from enjoying their rights. So what that means is that children have the right to meet up as individuals and parts with groups of friends. It means they have the right to set up organisations, and they have the right to join organisations, and they have the right to take part in peaceful protest, and they have the right to come together to discuss the issues that affect children's lives. It's been really interesting, hasn't it, watching what the children are doing. As I talk around children, one of the things that comes up time and time again, their concern for our planet and their concern for whether there's a future for them and what it's going to look like. It's a great worry to me that we're leaving so much of a mess for children to clean up. After 200 or 300 years of unbridled development. But of course, development isn't just development, it's also constriction, because what you develop, in one hand, you're also taking over habitats. You're taking away from something in order to make something. And human beings have for far too long thought that the only thing that really matters is the human beings. And that's not so. The whole of creation matters. And children seem to be more aware of that a lot of the time than adults are. There's a prayer here from Christian Concern for One World, which was day 6 of the week of prayer for world peace that we've just been through. And it seemed to me that it was appropriate to read this prayer out this morning as part of this International Children's Day. So this prayer that came from the Prayer for One World, or a prayer for world peace. We pray for children whose childhood has been interrupted, for young eyes that have seen far too much, for young hands trained to hold weapons, young feet forced to march, young minds seared by commands no child should ever encounter. We pray for children used in conflicts to be set free. For your healing, God, to restore their bodies and their minds, and the bodies and the minds of those whom they have harmed. We pray for their reconciliation with families and communities, and an end to cycles of grief and trauma. And we pray, Father God, for a just and peaceful resolution of the conflicts that rend our world and put children and adults in harm's way. Amen. Our reading today takes a step back from our reading from last week. You might recall the readings that we've been having as we've gone through the week of prayer for world peace. I want to refer back to that in a minute, but for right now, I want to read to you from Mark chapter 9. The disciples and Jesus went on from where they were. They passed through Galilee. And Jesus didn't want anyone to know it, because he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But the disciples didn't understand what he was saying. and they were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" And they were silent, for on the way they'd argued with one another about who was to be the greatest. And he sat down, he called the 12, and he said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last, and the servant of all." And then he took a little child and he put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." You ever get the sense when you take up a child in your arms that you're welcoming God? Because that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. You might remember that last week we were talking about how Jesus had been confronted with James and John wanting to sit at his right and his left hand. And he said almost the same thing to them, that, you know, amongst the Gentiles, you know, those who are their leaders, their great ones, they rule it over them, they lord it over them, they dominate them, but not amongst you. And then in that same passage in chapter 10, there's that situation where the parents are wanting to bring the children to him, and the disciples are saying, "No," and they're speaking quite harshly to them. And Jesus says, "Accept the little children. Don't forbid them. Except you receive the kingdom of God as a little." And he took the children up in his arms and he blessed them. He said, "Except you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you cannot enter it." And Jesus was referencing the way our hearts and our love goes out to a little child as a way our hearts and our love must go out to all of creation. So it's really interesting that the parallels that are here in this, because in this we have a little bit earlier in chapter 9, a boy has got an evil spirit and the disciples can't fix it. And Jesus comes to them and he says, "What's been going on with this boy?" And the parents, no doubt with their hearts breaking, pour out what's happened to this little boy. And then Jesus takes the child, wraps him up in his arms, and the little boy goes into a fit and it's like he's dead. And then he holds out his hand, he lifts him up and he stands up and he's okay. And then you get this story that they went on from there through Galilee, and he's telling them how the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. So the boy with the evil spirits, then the predictions of his death and his resurrection, and then on the way, who's the greatest? And Jesus responds, teaching them the first is going to be last. And then welcoming a child and saying, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." So you got those four things: the boy with the evil spirit, the prediction of his death, who's the greatest, the first will be last, and then the welcoming of the child. And then in chapter 10, you've got Jesus trying to tell the disciples about his death. You got James and John wanting to sit at his right and his left hand when he comes in his glory. You got Jesus telling the disciples that the ruler is going to be a servant amongst you, and the greatest is going to be a slave. And then he takes the children and said, "Except you receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child, you can't enter into it. You see the parallels going on here. Mark's got almost the same structure going on this side as he's got going on this side. What's he doing? Why has Mark used the same basic format? A healing, predictions of his death, who's the greatest and who's the least, and then children. And then in chapter 10, prediction of his death, James and John, who's the greatest, who's the least, ruler is the servant, and then the children. What's going on? It's so interesting, isn't it? Mark is obviously wanting to make a really, really strong point. And he's repeating this pattern, this fourfold pattern. And all of a sudden, you're confronted with the way we relate to children is deeply associated with the kingdom of heaven. Now, we shouldn't be surprised. One of the things I like to do is to encourage everyone to know that God is there and God is visible in what God has created. God is all around us. The light keeps on shining. And what Jesus did time and time again was he taught people to look and to see and to know that the kingdom of heaven is there. Here he does it with children. In other places he does it with sheep and shepherds. In other places he does it with a woman who's lost a coin and is cleaning up the house. He does it in lots and lots of ways. This is what the kingdom of... In other places he talks about sparrows, and sometimes he talks about the hairs on your head. All of them numbered. Not as many to count now as there used to be. I said to someone, I had a haircut the other day. They said, which one? So what's Jesus doing with this? Well, we've got several things that are coming together. One is, in both of these stories, in chapter 9 and in chapter 10 of Mark, he talks about the predictions of his death. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You want a picture of God? Here's one. Someone who's willing to give his life up out of love. In much the same way that a parent will surrender everything to look after and love a child. So will a grandparent. And uncles and aunties and godparents. The kingdom of God is in these things. And the kingdom of God can't be separated from children. It can't. We see God in this relationship with children. We should see God at work in this relationship with children. And where the relationship with children doesn't talk about the kingdom of God, something is really out of kilter. Remember when we were talking about creation, we were saying one of the things that Genesis 1 teaches us and Genesis 2 teaches us is that the earth isn't here for us as something to be exploited for our benefit. We're here for the earth, given the role of looking after it and nurturing it and loving it. And when it goes around the other way, something is terribly wrong. Our purpose is inverted. The same applies with children. And when children become exploited for the purposes of people of power, something terrible, terrible, terrible is happening. As adults, it's our role to look after kids. That's part of the kingdom of heaven. A church has a responsibility for children. We have a responsibility to the powerless. The way we treat the vulnerable says something about what the kingdom of God is about. And there's more about that on the 21st of November when Christ the King is the theme. That's my last service. We are to be like the one who gave out of love, whose purpose was love, not for himself, but for others. Our purpose for children is the love of God, that they can know about it. It's not easy for churches these days. Just having a chat a few minutes ago with some people about the days when we had Sunday schools and kids used to turn up, and it was easy to talk to kids about these things and about their purpose on earth. We struggle these days in churches. And I think that it is terribly important that churches don't give up this struggle. When Karen stood down from her role a few months back, we lost a tremendously valuable asset in the ministry of our church. And I really hope and pray that when Tamakisa is ordained as the minister here, I really hope and pray that the church does something to address the absence of our, or the weakness of our ministry with children. It is so important. So I hope we find another worker for children and families, but that's a decision for the church council. But churches who have a top-heavy demographic of older people can't just say, okay, let's make the church comfy for us, because we're letting go of something that is about the kingdom of God. And you find it in chapter 9, you find it in chapter 10. And our relationship with children reminds us that it is the vulnerable, it is the weak, it is those who need to be nurtured. And the way that's done, that is at the heart of what the kingdom of God's about. These things are terribly important. And this Sunday, International Children's Day, we need to remember that our understanding about children is deeply, deeply connected with what it means to be Christian, what it means to come to serve, not to be served, what it means to nurture and look after, rather than to regard whatever is in front of us as something to be used and exploited. It is terribly, terribly important if we are to be Christian. Let's pray. God, we pray for our children, our grandkids, the children we know and the ones we don't. Our hearts go out to those people who can't look after their children because they're in internment in refugee camps or detention centres. His hearts break because they can't give the children the future that they want to give them. His hearts break because they see their children being damaged by what the world is doing to it. We pray for our country, that our attitude to vulnerable children will become more compassionate. And we pray for our church that we won't drop the ball, that our ministry for children will be something that we grasp with both hands and all the wisdom of the age that we have, to let them know what the kingdom of heaven is about. Amen. When we get back to church, and we're going to do that on the 6th of November, by government regulations, if we're going to meet, we have to make sure that everybody is double vaccinated. It's going to be difficult, and we've been wrestling with it, but that's the way it is. If we're going to be allowed to meet, we have to ensure that everybody's double vaccinated. So make sure you get your vaccination certificate in some way in your hand, so that when you turn up on the 6th, you can show it at the door and say, yep, I'm here and I'm double vaccinated, because I want to keep everybody else safe. And that's what we're trying to do as a church, to keep everyone safe. We're only allowed to have 76 people because we're only allowed to have one person per every 4 square meters. That's the law. And of course we abide by the law because it's there to try and stop people from getting hurt. We don't want anybody to catch COVID because of our actions not being as careful and caring as we can be. So please make sure you get hold of your vaccination certificate. The 6th, it's going to be great to meet together again. The 6th of November, or 7th of November, I beg your pardon, is the Sunday after All Saints Day. It's going to be great to be back together again. And I'm hoping that nothing goes wrong to spoil that. I'm a bit worried about the numbers we've got. We're going to dedicate our new organ and you're going to hear what it sounds like. And it is awesome. So that we're looking forward to. Also, we're going to have these on sale. They're a little bag that our eco group is making and they're going to be available. They're the ones you take into the supermarket with you and you pick up your veggies in these instead of using a plastic one, because the plastic then goes back into the environment and pollutes. This one you use time and time and time and time and time again, so we keep the place clean. That's your eco tip. When you come on the 7th, get ready to buy one of these. I think they're going to be for almost nothing. Some of our people are making them so that we've got them, okay? So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and bless your children. Amen.